Hello, hello. Welcome back to Jesse in Motion. This is my story, my journey. From mental break to family drama, cancer scares, friendship, relationship issues, new habits and getting rid of the old ones, trying new things, and traveling. If any of these topics are relatable, like and subscribe and stay tuned. I am going to be as sincere as possible. Also, I know that some people won't agree with me, and that is quite fine by me, to be honest. At this point in my life, I'm trying not to do anything to please anyone. I just do it because it makes sense to me, and I think that's part of my purpose. I mean, I have to admit that it is a little bit embarrassing that at 36, I'm realizing what my purpose is. I got into nursing school, went to BMCC for a semester for nursing, and I realized this is not how I wanted to help people, so I dropped out. Got into acting only because I was trying to run away from my reality. That also did not work out very well. I quit. Well, not really, not necessarily quit. I stopped because I didn't like the rejection. I'm gonna remove the word guess. I did not like the rejection, and also I had a very, very thick accent. But then, that I felt like I was being I was not taken serious because of it. But I did pretty good. I made it to even an off-Broadway play even with my accent, and I have this teacher who I actually really hoped and wished that she would have been my mentor, because she was so good and she also believed in me. Miss Williams, if you're still around, I don't know if you still remember me, but she actually saw something in me, and I don't know why and how, but she saw more in me than I did in myself, and she gave me a shot. And I did an off-Broadway play called Eating Out, and I was playing the lead role, Melanie. I mean, it was pretty awesome. And then one person that actually showed up to that play, not my family, none of my family, but a friend of mine that I went to high school with, Shirley, and I appreciate you so much for that, because I will never forget it. She came and saw me when we did the curtain call. So yeah, acting didn't work out, but I always knew that I wanted to help people. I'm sorry if I'm not looking into the camera, because I don't like being recorded, but then again, I got into acting, right? That's so interesting. I guess I love the idea of just being someone else than me. So, and I said that I want to do this as transparent as possible, only because I'm actually really realizing and believing there is something more in me than I ever thought, than I ever imagined, than I ever knew. It's not comfortable. It's not a comfortable space to be. But it's also showing me a lot about me that I did not know. And I really hope this works for you, whoever's watching and whoever's interested in this and whoever can relate to my story, because this is my story. And I think this was always and has always been part of my purpose by helping someone else this way, by helping someone else using my experience from where I've been. And I always ask, like, I mean, does God even love me? Or why do I go through things that I have gone through? From being an unwanted child from the beginning, even before I was born, from being an unwanted, from being taken advantage of sexually by a friend of my family, from being diagnosed with cancer twice, from being lost in life, from being mentally ill and not even acknowledging it, living in denial about it, from being heartbroken by my own family and, you know, friends as well, from being heartbroken by me. I broke my own heart in a lot of ways. From not knowing my value, from not having any dignity, from still fighting my demons, my internal demons, from shutting myself from reality, from shutting myself from society, from being crippled by fear. From still trying to understand who I really am at 36. From having an abortion at 36. From being rejected at 36. From having a mental break. From suicidal thoughts. From trying to actually try to kill myself twice. From loneliness, hell, from fucking being borderline alcoholic because I was trying to run away from my life, from everything, from my problems, from I mean, there's so many things, and I don't want you to see me as a cry for help or looking for attention. I actually just realized that on the train, that the only reason why these things keeps happening in my life is because I'm supposed to use them for something. But I didn't know why. I always knew that I always use my life as a guideline for somebody else. But I never use my life as a guideline for me. As a I never use my life as anything because I never seen me as anything. Like me. I never seen me as anything. I did see my experiences as a way to help someone else. Like, listen, I understand what you're going through, but this is what I went through, and I'm actually here now. I'm okay now. Why wouldn't you get out of that? But again, I was preaching something that I was not exercising. And this is why I started going to therapy, in a way. So another way to see this, and this is also for me too. We always know what we want to do in life. We always know our purpose. But the issue is always allowing fear to cripple us from making that step forward. We always allow fear to cripple us from finding out the truth. Not leaving, but living. Yeah, that's my accent. We always allow fear to cripple us from living the truth. And I can say that because, Jesus Christ, I've been doing it for 30 fucking 6 years. I think the only thing that you need to start asking yourself, and I'm not nervous. I'm usually pretty nervous about this. I mean, I'm not looking at the computer. I feel like I'm really talking to my journal, who's right in front of me, by the way. You really need to start asking yourself, are you comfortable where you are? Career-wise, relationship-wise, personal-wise, personal life-wise, living situation-wise, are you comfortable? If you're not comfortable, then start making yourself uncomfortable. Start making yourself uncomfortable. If you're uncomfortable, then you have to start making some move. Just little. You don't have to do anything big. Just little. Just little move. If you need to change where you live, change where you live. So I have a one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn. I mean, it used to be one of the project back in the days, but some private company bought the whole compound. So now it's not really project. It's, you know, it's a new company, but it's still in the project, or, you know, whatever. But I paid $1,700 for it. I mean, it's quite expensive from, you know, the salary that I'm getting. But I love the fact that it's my responsibility to pay it. And I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. I don't like the whole environment, but I love my little apartment. The minute that I walk in that apartment, it's like I'm in my own little bubble. I'm in my own little universe because it's mine. I paid for it and I'm still paying for it. And then I started realizing little by little, and I've been living there for 6 years now. Yeah, 6 years, yeah. Oh my God, that's a long time. And little by little, I realized the environment is doing something to me. It's not in a positive way. It's doing something to me only because someone else started pointing out some stuff and I started paying attention to it more. And it's doing something to me. And I decided, well, I didn't decide anything yet, but I started thinking, I really don't like this. Yeah, I really don't like it. I really don't like the fact that there's always cops around here. It's bringing this idea. Oh my God, I can't. It's bringing this idea that something bad is going on. And then recently, I was walking by the park, and then there's a nice little park where, you know, sometimes schools come and play football or baseball, or sometimes they play basketball. Sometimes they do have some, you know, local basketball tournament there, which is pretty cool. It's nice, especially in the summer. It's really nice. But Saturday night, my boyfriend and I were just walking to go to the bodega around the corner. And I remember walking in front of the park and someone got punched in the face. Punch in the face. And he got knocked out. Cold. And I remember someone else was trying to shake him. I was so shocked. My heart started beating. And I was wearing my Apple Watch. My heart rate went from 75 to literally 147. This is how shocked I was. And I've been living here for 7 years. And these are all signs that, I mean, for me, this is how I see it. It was a sign like, bitch, you need to get out of there. Like, get out of there. What was that? And I've been living there for 6 years and I've never seen it before. And these are the signs that started to make me feel uncomfortable. If I leave this place, fuck, I would miss it. This is my first apartment. This was my first apartment by myself. I would miss it. I love this little place. Love it. But that environment started to make me feel uncomfortable, and it's affecting me in a way that I don't like. And I think I've gained whatever I needed for the past 6 years in that place that I need to move on now. So start getting uncomfortable. Start getting uncomfortable where you are. Because if you're comfortable, then it's going to be very hard for you to see. It's going to be very hard for you to see the best part of you. So when you start being in a space where you're being honest with yourself, you start asking yourself the hard questions. Like, Jesse, what do you want? What do you want out of this life? Why do you think you're here? I always used to ask God, like, you know, if you can bless me with anything, bless me with more wisdom. And let me tell you, I grew a lot. I grew a lot from everything that I went through in my life. I grew a lot. And then I saw the difference in the way that I think. And I said, God, I need you to bless me with forgiveness. How can I forgive people, even the one that hurt me the most? How can I forgive them? Teach me how to forgive. And guess what? I started meditating. I started meditating more than praying. Because when you go meditating, you can create a space. And it's not an easy, meditation is not an easy thing to do. Until now, I still struggle with it. But you found a space for you where you can be with yourself or you can be with God. However you want to see it. Because I think I do believe there's a part of God is within us. Only if we silent ourselves. I am learning, and I want everybody to hear that. I am learning, still learning to do it, but it's getting better. It's so getting better. Finding who you really are, it's not an easy thing to do. It's a long process. It's hard. And it takes a lot of forgiveness. It takes a lot of forgiveness. A lot of forgiveness for yourself. And whomever else you think have hurt you in the past or hurting you. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. And there are days you're going to have really, really hard days. There's people that I've forgiven in my life. And I literally snap at myself like, what the fuck, Jesse? How are you gonna, this person, and this is my ego telling me that. This is my ego. And I know it because my real self is always, always very, very calm. But my ego is the energetic one. It's the one that's always on fire. Like, always see the bad in everything sometimes. I'm not going to blame my ego for everything, but we're coming to an understanding at this point. But I would always try to see the best in people. The people that hurt me the most, I would always see something in them. Well, they, like, you know, I don't want to say the word excuse, but because it's sometimes it's not an excuse, although some people use it as an excuse. But I would say, well, you know, they're going through this and that, and this is what had happened in their lives. So that's probably why they're reacting that way. But it doesn't really necessarily mean that's what they mean to do it, or they meant to do it. This is me. No, but my ego would be like, no, fuck this bitch. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, get the fuck out of here. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? The shit my ego does. I know you guys can see that book behind me. Ego's the enemy. I love this book. I love it. I love it so much because it tells you a lot about who you really are. It's like confronting yourself. Try confronting yourself. It's the funniest thing ever, but also it's the best thing that you can do for your soul. The best thing that you can do for your soul. And I'm saying all of this. I'm not just saying them because, you know, I read books. I read a lot of books. Again, I'm not trying to be a mentor. I'm not trying to be a leader. I'm not trying to be a role model. I have no credit for that. Fuck. My life is still pretty fucked up. But you know what? The point is, I'm seeing some things. I'm seeing some difference. And I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Me? Even doing this right now, it's so, I mean, I thought it was so on me. But this is my fucking calling. The minute that I'm behind this mic, it may sound, I mean, a lot of people see it as being impulsive. Actually, no, not a lot of people. My boyfriend see it as being impulsive. I actually don't think it is. I think it's just being realistic, being real, being transparent. Not everybody's going to be open to it. Not everybody's going to be okay to it. And as you can see, I'm talking about this as serious as it is. And then I'm like jumping to another topic. This is the messiness of being me. And I'm recording a podcast with literally going on 20, 24 minutes. Oh my goodness. But anyway, so my question is to you, what exactly are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I mean, I've just literally stated most of the things that I've been, you know, I've gone through in my life. What are you afraid of? I don't think anyone should live life because of society, or especially right now. I feel like society, the society mind has been transferred to social media, and you see the comparison. Okay, I can't speak English anymore. Well, I never did anyway. You see the comparison: society, social media. You can't compare yourself or your story nor your life to someone else's. That's automatic failure. And I know you've heard that from so many motivational people or audio. You can't do it. It's just not gonna work. It's just automatic failure. But there is something in you. And I'm gonna say this. This is when I realized that I was special. My story was special. Everything that I've gone through is for a reason. And everything about me, not the whatever you're looking, you know, with the wig and, you know, my lipstick. I literally just got off from work, by the way, and you know, I look so fucking oily and stuff. And my face is working out. Not this. This is not me. But if you look into the core of who you really are, remove everything else. Remove all the shelves that we have. You can't ever be like any fucking body else but you. I realize it when Carl Sagan, an astronomer back in the 80s, used to have the show called Cosmos, which I loved. He said, You are made of stardust. Stardust? I think if my parents ever said that to me, that I was made out of stardust, I would have been the shiniest human being walking planet of Earth. Please, I would have been shining everywhere. I think now I'm starting to shine. I'm starting to shine. Even all my breaks out, and my smile, people would be like, Not in a sexual way, though. But you are made of stardust. I mean, if you look in the sky, how a star shines. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine you have these particles inside of you? Why are you not living up to it? I mean, I'm not blaming you, because I've been there. I've fucking been there. I'm now shining. I'm shining. This podcast hasn't even taken yet. And I believe I'm going to be fine. Shit. Whether this podcast fail or not, or the YouTube fail or not, I'm going to find another way. I'm going to find another way to live my purpose. I'm going to live my purpose. It doesn't have to be this way. I mean, I tried acting by telling someone else's story through me. And I think I did a pretty good job. I just was not persistent. And also because I was very naive. I didn't have the support that I thought I needed or deserved. I flaked out. But now at 36, shit. I mean, did I tell you, I'm going to be 37 next month. Fuck. Well, not next month, this month. Oh my goodness. Wow. This is scary. But you are made of stars. I don't even know what else to say from that. You are made of stars. What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, start doing something small. Just take a walk. Get a bike. Bike around your neighborhood. See something different. Go in the park and sit down. Write in your journal or record on your phone. I don't know. Just record some voice note. You don't want anybody to see your face. Now I'm getting okay with my face being seen, but just do something out of your daily routine. Do something that you would never do. It's hard. I'm not even gonna lie about that. It's fucking hard. It's not easy. But you got to start asking yourself these questions and be honest with yourself. Start asking these questions like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I'm doing a 9-to-5 job now that I'm saving lives. I'm saving lives. Almost every day I'm saving lives. But does it bring me some sort of fulfillment? No. Actually, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, I work for a heart transplant program. I'm a heart transplant LVAD coordinator. It's a decent job. There are days that, I mean, I have hard days, but there are days that I actually really, really, really love it and appreciate it. And then there are days that I ask myself, that question in the morning, why is it so hard for me to get up in the morning? Why do I whine so much whenever I have to go to work? Why do I get into a depression mode at 5 o'clock on a Sunday night? Like, what the fuck? I'm trying not to make myself comfortable, because if I make myself comfortable, I will stay there. Probably retire from this job. But is that really where I want to be? No. Do I see myself doing this job for the next 5 years? No, I don't even see myself finishing this year. No, I don't. So I don't know. I don't know if you see my point here. It doesn't matter how much you try to ignore your purpose or your calling, whatever you want to call it, it's gonna keep coming and knock on your door. But it's up to you to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. I say that my job pay the bills. That's the excuse that I use. It pays the bills. I can afford where I live. I have a roof over my head and I pay for it every month. But I actually do not like my job at all. Actually, it takes an emotional toll on me. Almost every day. I came home and I'm emotionally and physically exhausted. But that's another conversation. But if you are a product of a star and you see how a star shines, I mean, if you've ever seen a star being born, it's even the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. I'm obsessed with space in the universe. I'm just obsessed. I have a little globe right here with all the planet. I don't know if you can see it. It's right here. It's clear. Oh shit, you can't see it. It's really clear, but you can see all the little planet. I have an obsession with space. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I mean, if you're made of stardust, you have stars, particles in you. Are you gonna start shining through your life? Are you gonna shine through your family struggles, your relationship struggles? Are you gonna start shining through mental health, any type of diseases that you have? Diagnosis. Fuck, I was diagnosed with cancer twice. And I'm shining. I'm fucking shining. I didn't know that I was shining. I didn't know that I was shining because the mentality of being, of thinking that, you know, this happened, well, you know, life happens. Let's move on. It's good. It's really good. But it's good not in an ignorant way. At a certain point, I was ignorant. When my first cancer diagnosis, I was very ignorant. I didn't know. I was like, oh, well, I'm 25. What the fuck? This happened? Okay. But the second time that it happened, at 34? No, I was 30, 33. I was like, what the fuck? No. But it was a wake-up call. I've always been very lucky in a way. I don't believe in luck like that. But I think I can see that because oh my God, I just snorted. I took care of I take care of myself. I make sure. But isn't it crazy though? I can't pause this. I don't want to pause this. It's crazy. It's crazy. But you have to keep shining through. Shine through. Fight through. Sometimes you just start doing something, even if people are not giving you praise for it. Just do it because it brings some sense of joy in you. It brings something else in you. Just do it. Who gives a fuck about other people? And other people are never going to be happy for you. Let me tell you that. No one. Once you start doing something new that your environment has not done yet, or even if they aren't doing it, or if anybody in your environment started doing it, if there is something that is very authentic, aesthetic, different, the essence of you is coming out. They're not gonna like you. They're not gonna like you. Just, I mean, I have to keep it real. They're not gonna, not they're not going to like you. Let me rephrase that. They're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. And you have to grow some thick skin to be okay with that. That's just life. That's just how it is. People are like that. And forgive them. You have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. Because you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not, if you don't forgive them. You can't take unforgiving pass to your future, to your success. You can't do that. It's not going to help you in any way, because one day it's going to come and bite you in the ass. I remember telling my boyfriend that, you know, every time someone does something to you and if you don't, you know, say anything right away, if that person has a good conscience and they're a decent human being, it will come around. They will come back and say sorry and do something, like an action to show you that they are sorry. So you don't ever quickly judge someone by what they have done to you. If they have a good conscience, or if you meant something to them, if you mean or meant something to them, they will come back and show you some form of gratitude. I honestly believe that. Some people that are selfish and egotistical won't probably do it. They'll probably think about it, but they won't do it. But someone that, if they really cared about you or want to keep some form of a relationship, even if it does not last, even if it's a long distance relationship, even if it's a hi from Europe and you're in New York, they will always show you a form of gratitude. I know that for sure. I mean, I've always loved my friend. I actually believe that I'm a great friend. I'm a great friend only because I know that the selfless things that I have done, and it's so bad of me to assume that they would do the same for me. Because when you do something for someone, you should never expect it to come back to you, right? Because you do it just because it's in you. But there's some people you do things for them and you like for family, for example. You know, we're family. If I do something for you and I'm going through something at a certain point, I'm expecting you to, you know, repeat the same actions that I did for you, even if it's not this exact same thing. But I'm hoping that you would reach out and do something or ask if I need help or anything like that. And I shouldn't think that way. And I stopped thinking that way. I stopped thinking with family or friends, if I do something for you, it is what it is. It's in the past. Let bygone be bygones. I'm not going to be yin and yang with you. I can't do it anymore. Because it has taken so much energy from me and has caused me to get sick. Holding anger from someone does not help anyone. It just eats you alive. I mean, I never talked about it, but the two reasons I believe that to my core that I got cancer is because of my anger towards my family, my anger towards me. Well, I think that's about it. And hoping the world would be a little bit nicer to me. I don't know why I thought I was so special, but, you know, these are the shit that we create in our head. Yeah, these are the things that really got me sick from, you know, stressing myself out so much about these things. Like, I wanted my parents to love me more. I wanted my parents to be this way. I wanted my mom to be, like, more mommy, but she's really not a mom. Mommy, she's not a mommy. I don't even call her mom. And my father, you know, you always have this idea of how you want people to be. But then again, have you ever looked into yourself to see, how do I want me to be? Or who am I really? Who am I to actually demand so much from other people? do we, I mean, do we even ask ourselves that? Because we feel like we're perfect. It's not me. I'm not the problem. They are the problem. But, you know, I really started being really honest with myself. Like, how can I change this? How can I change me? How can I make myself better? And what can I do to have a better relationship? So my goal this year is to actually have a better relationship with my dad. I haven't spoken to him since January. And now we're in June. I haven't spoken to him in since January. And I actually made an episode about my dad being so... verbally abusive in a way, and I really do believe that he has a mental illness that he doesn't want to believe, and also he lost a lot. I understand things happen in life, and it's either you're gonna let it break you or you're gonna break it. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna choose? So I think he's allowing these things that happened in his life to break him, and I can't be a part of that. I'm sorry, I just cannot be a part of it. So one of the reasons why I stopped talking to him, and I said, I'm a fucked up person. Like, I need help. I need help. I need help, and I can't help you. And if you keep abusing me when I'm trying to help you, I need to get away from you. This is not helping me at all. I mean, you're making me feel bad. I wish I was better for you. Not better for me, but better for you. I'm like, this does not even make any sense. I was trying to create the formula in my head, and I'm like, Jesse, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you need to figure out what you need to do for yourself before you can help this man. Because mentally, I was not in a proper about this video, especially my family. Because there's a lot of things that I just mentioned that they had no idea about. But this is a new chapter in my life. And I'm trying to let you guys know that the only reason why I'm doing this is because I feel like I can help someone else with my fucking issues. But also, this is my diary as well. This is my story of me trying to find myself. Talking about this, it's so helpful. Like, hell, I literally just came from work, and it's about to be 10 o'clock, and I'm still fucking talking. I'm so fucking talking. The only thing that I did, like, I really just jot down some words, some keywords in my little gray book that I carry around all the time on the train. And I wrote down what I really wanted to, you know, talk about, but it turns out to be more. It's about to be fucking 40 minutes, and I'm still talking. And to tell you, I love to talk. I love to talk. I don't know why I didn't start a podcast before that, but way before that. But anyway, let's just go back to it. I mean, I was one of those people that used to play the victim. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know if you want to be the victim or the victor. I know I want to be the victor. I'm so fucking tired of playing the victim. That doesn't gain me anything. It doesn't do anything for me. It just makes my life look so fucking sad. And even when I'm trying to do something that is positive, I'm going to use quotation mark like Joey from Friends. It just make people look at me like, oh my god, like, what's going on with her? I really want to help her. Fuck no, I don't need you. I don't need anyone's help. The only help that I need is me, which I'm fucking doing right now. And I'm fucking excited for the future. This is the first time in a fucking long time that I'm excited about the future. I don't know why I'm banging the table. You guys are probably gonna hear it really loud, but I'm excited. It's not, I don't have good days every day, but damn it, I do have some fucking great days. I have some great days. But what do you want to do? Yeah, what the fuck do you want to do? Do you want to keep playing the victim? Are you going to change it? Are you going to change it? Are you going to be the victor now? Or do you want someone else to come and help you to get there? What do you want to do? What do you want? What do you want? I'm not talking about money. This, what I'm doing right now, I'm not gaining anything from it. At least not yet. But I'm not gaining anything from it. I still fucking live in the project, and I still have a 9-to-5, which I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to. I started something new, and it's fun for me. Like, I get so excited. Today I had a happy hour time with my coworkers, and I was looking forward to get on the train so I can start jotting down some words, things that I wanted to talk about, because I just want to do this. I love it. I love the fact that I can talk. I don't like the idea of recording it, but I love the idea that I can actually talk to people. Do yourself a favor and ask yourself, how can you be of service? How can you be of service, not for your friend, your family, or for you? How can you be of service for humanity? I have a profound belief in being in service to humanity. If you look at this little blue ball that we live in, which I'm not sure why we're not working collectively to help keep this planet going. I mean, it's gonna be gone in the next 10,000 years anyway, or maybe 100,000 years? No, 10,000 years. Don't quote me on it, by the way. If we're not working collectively, what is the point of having other different races, background, people that just look nothing like us, born with no arms, no legs, lose the most important person in your life, but you're still moving, right? You're still moving. I was listening to this podcast called Motivation. I listen to podcasts a lot. I love podcasts. This I can't remember his name, but he resonated with me so much. And I think I've heard that podcast probably 100 times, but I'm so bad with names. He resonated with me a lot, only because he had no arms, no legs, literally no limbs at all. But he was doing something that I actually want to do. I actually want to be a motivational speaker. And I keep asking myself, like, so are you gonna use the fact that you have an accent, that you weren't born here, you're an immigrant? Are you gonna use that excuse not to do it? I mean, what are you gonna do, Jesse? What are you gonna do? This guy has no limbs at all. He's fucking doing it. What is your excuse? I started asking myself, like, what is your excuse? It's not comparison. I'm not trying to compare myself to him. But really, what is my excuse? I know mine would be, I say, oh yeah, I have an accent that actually, like, I don't like to public speak because of my accent. Bitch, do you know how many fucking doctors have accent and they are doctors? Get a hold of yourself. And this is what fear does to you. You start believing something else. That seed of who you are, that whatever you want to call it, God, the universe, whatever, the spirit that is bigger than you, or something that is bigger than you, had implanted in you, keep telling you this is the direction that you need to go. But fear starts making you think something else. So this is the misconception that we have about fear. Instead of fearing fear, we should befriend fear. Sit down with fear. Have a conversation. Have a conversation. Let you know, you know, fear, like, what's going on? I mean, do you want me to fail? Is that what it is? Because I mean, I wasn't born to be a failure. I was born to shine. I mean, if you think you're going to come and stand in my way, then it's on. I'm putting my boxing gloves on. I'm putting my boxing gloves on. So are we going to be friends? Because I feel like there are times that I'm going to need you. Because fear can be a boost of energy. Have a conversation with fear. It's okay to have a conversation with fear. I believe fear is not meant to hurt us. We have this misconception that it's here to hurt us. But I do believe that fear helps you build your foundation. It helps you strengthen your core. It makes your story more relatable. This is why I like fear. It can literally cripple you. Don't get me wrong. But only if you give it that power. So if you don't know your power, then of course fear is going to take over. What do you want to do? Do you want to know your power? Do you know your power? Are you going to start looking for your power now? And then befriend fear? I know this is a long video, but I literally came up with... I literally wanted to talk about this only because this is exactly what I was feeling on the train coming home. I actually have the power now to just call and say, oh, by the way, I'm not coming to work. I don't want to come to work. That's what I feel like saying. Oh, my God. My wig looks so oily. Oh, my God. Look at my forehead. Okay, sorry. This is so bad. But, yeah. I'm not better than you. I'm not a role model. I'm not trying to be a leader. Hell to the fucking no. I cannot be any help to anyone but myself. But these are the things that I'm learning now. At 36. About to be 37 in the next 2 weeks. Just in case I don't have any children later on. At least I have this and I can share it with someone. And if you like it, if it resonates with you, if you feel like you have been lost in a lot of ways and you're trying to find yourself and you feel like you got something out of this, email me, Instagram me at Jessie Mesmours, GessieMesaMours. I'm sorry if my name is so long. Let me know what you think.
Thank you for listening. If you like this podcast, just subscribe and stay tuned for the next episode. And you can also send me a message on Instagram at Jessie Mesamores, which is GessieMesamores. And I'll be so glad to reply. Stay tuned. Laters.